Julian Schreibman, Democratic challenger for New York's new 19th district seat. So tell me something. When you're running against an incumbent, albeit, you know, a term or two terms, is that difficult to get introduced so people know who you are? Does incumbency have an inherent value to it?
Well, you know, I imagine that that folks are more familiar, perhaps, with their congressman than they are with me off the bat. But that's what political campaigns are about. You know, we're in a presidential year. We're in a time when folks are very focused on the consequences of leadership and the consequences of lack of leadership, if that's the case, from the congressman. So we are campaigning hard every day, meeting lots of voters, meeting lots of folks in the community to ensure not just that they know me, but more importantly, know where I stand and how I differ from the Tea Party priorities of Congressman Gibson.
How do you raise money? I know it's a huge thing. I talk to political candidates all the time, and they say that way too much time is devoted to being on the telephone and asking people for money.
You know, it's a difficult system that we have to live in. Unfortunately, we're seeing this year the thing that concerns me more than the day-to-day of fundraising that candidates have gotten accustomed to for years is the flow of unregulated anonymous money that comes in through these super PACs. We've already seen the National Chamber of Commerce spend $400,000 to prop up Congressman Gibson. We expect millions more to come in from who knows where, and the voters won't have an opportunity to know who is behind the messages that they'll be receiving. So, you know, in following Citizens United, the decision of the Supreme Court to allow these unlimited donations, that happened shortly before the 2010 election. In some ways, 2010 was sort of spring training for these super PACs. And this year, we're going to see, I think, the real brunt of the massive amounts of money that Karl Rove, the Koch brothers, and others have pledged to gather $1 billion to defeat the president and to defeat top Democratic challengers like me.
How would you fix that?
You know, certainly a first step that we need is to have disclosures so that folks know who's sponsoring the messages that they're receiving. You know, free speech is an important and wonderful thing, but we don't want voters to be receiving anonymous, massive messages. So disclosure is a critical, important part of it.
Do you think that if you insist on disclosure and if you were able to legally change the law, let's assume you get mm-hmm. the Congress back, the Democrats do, would the Supreme Court, as in Citizens United, find a way of saying that that was unconstitutional too?
Well, you know, it's always difficult to predict what the Supreme Court does. But I think clearly the people have raised a tremendous alarm about the consequences of Citizens United. The idea that corporations have the exact same rights as human beings is outrageous, and it's not one that that has support in the public. So I think common sense reforms of that and efforts to rein in that misguided decision, I think, will be popularly supported and I would hope recognized by the Supreme Court.
How do you see yourself in parallel, if that's a good way of putting it, to Maurice Hinchey, who used to represent at least part of the district?
Well, Congressman Hinchey was well respected by folks across the political spectrum because of his dedication to fighting for the people in these communities. For him, it was never about labels. It was never about an ideological agenda, but about speaking out forcefully about what was right for the people of the communities he represented. And so I take that very much as the lesson to learn from him. He's represented my family since I was 2 years old, so I have seen him in action for a long time.
Do you see any ways in which you differ from him?
I think that, you know, this is a different district, and it's important to remember that.
Yes.
The new district has very different contours. It is a much more rural district than the one that Congressman Hinchey had. And it allows, would allow me to really be an advocate for those rural communities, for the farmers, for the villages, for the small school districts, for the small businesses. And so that's where I think there is an opportunity to really carve my own path.
Now, the Congress has, now that you mentioned farmers, the Congress has not done anything with the Farm Bill, which, as one person on the air recently said to me in the congressional corner, is an invitation for farmers to change from being Republicans to Democrats. Have you found that out there in the hustings?
Well, the fact is, this has been an almost record-breaking Congress in terms of not getting anything done, and really highlighted, you know, the action of the Farm Bill highlights the dysfunction of Washington and really reminds people how broken it is down there. This is something that used to be a matter of bipartisan agreement, something that was recognized as critical to an industry that's important to the entire nation, and particularly so in this district.
So when you go out to give a speech, do you prepare yourself as a comedian who has to address an audience to engage them? What's your style?
Well, you know, first of all, campaigning, for me anyway, is not composed of a lot of speech making. To me, it's about going out and just having conversations with voters and listening to their concerns, listening to the questions they have and the frustrations they have. You know, a congressman has responsibility across such a wide variety of areas that it's always important to recognize that there are people who know much more about them than you do. And the most important thing you can do is listen and learn, understand the different perspectives, understand if people are speaking with one unified voice. And to me, as I've said, my focus is going to be on representing the needs of these communities rather than the Tea Party. And so our campaigning is focused on listening and on having just direct conversations with voters, with business owners, with farmers, with folks all across the community.
You keep mentioning the Tea Party. We only have about a minute now, but are you finding that there is a reaction to the concept of the Tea Party in your district?
You know, I don't know about the concept of the Tea Party. Certainly there were folks who thought that the Tea Party movement represented an effort to emphasize individual rights, emphasize taking back control of government. But the sad fact of it is that as it's actually come to pass in Washington, the Tea Party and Congressman Gibson, who's voted consistently with the Tea Party, has been more of the same and more of the things that folks don't want, turning Medicare into a voucher program, continually bringing up votes that are against women's health care and women's choice. Whether people expected that from the Tea Party, that's what they got. And I'm consistently finding they're not happy with it.
Our guest has been Julian Schreiben, Democratic challenger for New York's 19th district seat, currently held by Republican Chris Gibson. Julian, I want to thank you so much for coming in and spending this time with us in the studio. It always sounds better that way.
It's my pleasure to be here. I'm looking forward to coming back.